Good morning, church. It's a beautiful day to be in God's house, isn't it? Worshiping Him and enjoying His company and enjoying the fellowship that we have with each other. Quick thing, just wanted to let you know that we're hoping to have a report for you next week as far as the nominating committee. So if you're still thinking about it, make a decision fast. Because we're coming up on the time that we have to make a decision on the report that we have to put out. So hopefully we'll have that out. Everybody knows the procedure. We have a first week, you put the report out. Then the second week, we do a second reading, and then we take a vote on it, and then we move on to the new year from there. So be looking for that. Also, next week, as you know, I will be up in Gold Beach most of the day. We'll have a guest speaker here, and then there's about three, four of us going to be traveling to Portland for the constituency committee meeting that's going to be taking place at the Academy, Portland Adventist Academy, next week. So keep us in your prayer on that. It's going to be quite a trip going up there. Rita did not make a mistake in reading John 4:4. I know some of you were looking perplexed. What is happening is that thieves or traitors at the table, I'm going to have to save for you for a couple of weeks. So today, we're going to do a personal moment with Jesus. Okay, so don't mean to throw you off there, but going to go in a completely different vein this morning. Okay? How many of you have the New King James Version this morning? Okay, somebody with a loud voice, would you read from the King James, John 4:4? I just want to hear it in the King James. Linda, if you have it, just stand up and read it as loud as you can. Yep, just stand up and read it as loud as you can. Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody have it in the King James, John 4:4. Go ahead. Okay, she has it over here. Okay? John 4:4. Now, is that the King James or is that the New King James? Okay, the King James. King James. Who has the King James? Over here, Elizabeth. Okay? And he must needs go through Samaria. Anybody find that a little bit out of odd or out of... If you were an English teacher, you probably wouldn't make a sentence like that, would you? He must needs go through Samaria. Actually, the King James is a very, very well verse here. The King James actually got it right. Because the Greek word conveys an urgency, conveys a necessity, conveys a need that Jesus had to go through Samaria. That's why the King James says, and he must needs go through Samaria. You know that must and needs are pretty much the same thing. So it's emphasizing the fact that he needed to go through Samaria. So today we're going to be looking at a personal moment with Jesus. Now, in the Bible, we find Jesus many a times preaching to crowds, talking to crowds, big crowds, sometimes over thousands. But we also have occasions when Jesus spoke one to one with a person. Personal moments. And it was in those personal moments that we see the biggest transformation in the lives of people. This is one case, this woman of Samaria. So stop with me as we always do, and let's ask God to be with us as we open His Word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much again for giving us the opportunity to be here to worship. We want to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. And as we do that, we pray now that your Holy Spirit will accompany us. Hide me, Lord, behind the cross. And may your lambs be fed this morning. For we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you can imagine it, Jesus had been baptizing. Actually, he hadn't been doing any of the baptizing according to John 4. His disciples had been baptizing. The church was growing. The church was multiplying. Growth was happening. Jesus was busy. His disciples were busy. The message was going all over the place. So it was rare that Jesus got to be by himself. After doing some work in Galilee, they now make a trip. And John 4:4 says there, as you saw it on the screen, that he must needs go through Samaria. There was a necessity for him to go through Samaria. There was an urgency for him to go through Samaria. Because in Samaria, there was a woman. Jesus had been walking, probably dusty trails along the way, dusty, tiny trails, probably some shrubs and trees every now and then. But most of the road was probably under the sun. He gets to the well, and he's probably tired. His energy, and I don't know if you've ever walked in the plain sun at high noon, it can sap your energy. He gets to the well and he sits at the well. Now, no one did their work at high noon. Most of the work when you live in a hot area is done in the early of the morning or the late of the afternoon to avoid the sun. But here we have a woman showing up, the Bible says, at the sixth hour of the day. Anybody here know what the sixth hour of the day is, according to biblical reckoning? High noon. This is the highest point of the sun. Here comes this woman. She approaches the well. And Jesus is sitting there. And Jesus starts talking to her. Let's pick up the story in verse 7. A Samaritan woman came to draw water. "Will you give me a drink?" Jesus said to her. His disciples had gone into town to buy some food. But the Samaritan woman, verse 9, said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." He must needs go through Samaria. There were some problems here between this meeting of this woman in Jesus. There were some perplexing problems. This meeting should have never actually taken place, because one of the things that the Jews did not do is that they did not go through Samaria. They avoided Samaria at any price. Whatever it took, they went around it. They went over it. If they wanted to, I guess they could have dug a cave to go underneath it. They wanted to avoid Samaria like nothing else. As you can get the picture here, the Samaritans and the Jews didn't like each other. As a matter of fact, we can go a little bit further. They detested each other. They hated each other. As a matter of fact, for a Jew, the pig was an abomination to touch. But if a pig and a Samaritan were laying on the ground and they needed help, the Jew would first help the pig than to have to help the Samaritan. So that's the kind of animosity we're talking about. But the Bible says, John 4:4, he must needs go through Samaria. There was a need for him to go through Samaria because there was a woman there. There was a special moment, a special meeting. One of the barriers here we talked about already was the fact that there was a barrier of ethnicity. He was a Jew, she was a Samaritan. Another problem was the sex barrier. A rabbi, who Jesus was, would not greet, or any rabbi would not greet a woman in public. It was a no-no. You did not do it if you were a rabbi. Not only that, but you would definitely not start a conversation with a woman. Now we'll get into the story here and we'll see that this woman had a past. A huge list of history of not the best life choices. So Jesus not only breaks the animosity barrier, but he breaks the sex barrier and he breaks the conversation barrier to be able to talk to this woman. This woman is there at high noon. No one else is. No one else is there. She wasn't expecting to find anybody, but Jesus was there. Then there was the religious barrier. The religious barrier was one that the Samaritans worship at Mount Ebal. They used the first five books of the Old Testament. The Jews worship at Mount Gerizim. There was a wide religious gap between the Jews and the Samaritans. All kinds of barriers stood between the woman's meeting with Jesus. It had little promise of being an important meeting. But John 4:4 says, he must needs go through Samaria. Jesus, let me play with you for a second here. Jesus was fully God. Would you agree with that? Amen? Jesus was fully human. Would you agree with that? So Jesus, by divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knew this woman already, correct? He would know who she was. He would know what her life history was, correct? Jesus could have cut her off and not even talked to her to begin with, correct? But he did not. He said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" What does that do for the woman? That lets the woman know that she has the ability to help him. Jesus is putting himself lower than her because she has the ability to help him. He's asking for her help. Now the woman says, "Listen, Samaritans and Jews, just doesn't happen." Jesus comes back, verse 10. "If you knew the gift of God and who is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Oh, this arouses her curiosity. Oh, this has her, you know, thinking, her wheels are going. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw the water and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" You see, she's been coming to the well every day at noon. She doesn't want to be seen. She doesn't want to be talked to. She's probably tired of being judged. She doesn't want to see anybody. So when somebody says a living water, oh man, I want to jump on that. I don't want to be out here packing water in the middle of the day. She's excited about this. She continues to say, verse 12, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and also did his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him, he will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will come in him as a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Oh, the woman says, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Oh, she was hooked. She was hooked. "Man, help me out. Give me that water. I don't want to be packing this water in the noonday." You see, Jesus made a connection with this woman. He first says, "Give me some water." Can Jesus, or would Jesus have the power to have the water come up and swallow it? He had quieted the wind and the seas before. The water obeys him. He could have gotten water. But he says to her, "Give me some water," making a connection. He talks to her. He offers her something better, living water. The woman is now hooked like a fish. He's got her. They've made a connection. They're talking. He's broken a whole bunch of barriers here. But you see, when you're trying to reach a soul for Jesus Christ, you go to that person. You minister to that person. You make a connection with that person. And you don't wait for a crowd to be listening to you. You just do it. That's what Jesus did. He's talking. He's ministering. He's doing one-on-one ministry with this woman. So now, Jesus has her. Now he throws a curveball. Verse 16. Jesus says to her, what does he say there? You have it up there. "Go get your husband." Uh-oh. There's a problem here, isn't there? You know the story. How many husbands had this lady had? She was now living with somebody who was not her husband. That's a problem. Because in the Jewish and in the Samaritan tradition, this was a sin. Jesus says to her, "Go call your husband. He must needs go through Samaria." Because in Samaria was a woman that needed a personal moment with Jesus. That needed a transformation. That needed a conversion from Jesus. Now Jesus says to her, "Go call your husband." She says, "I have no husband." Verse 17. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." Now let me ask you something. Jesus is there at the well. He's sitting down. He's been walking through the dirt path. He's sitting there. Now the lady comes, the woman comes, carrying her canteen, walking towards the well in the heat of the sun to avoid any conversation. They get there, they're both there at the well, and the first thing that Jesus says is, "How many husbands do you have?" Do you think that woman would have stuck around and chatted with Jesus? She would have been gone. She would have been completely disappear. But now, Jesus, because he has a connection with her, is able to bring this up. Is able to face this issue and work through it. And the lady gets it now because she has a connection with him. Listen to what she says, verse 19. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet." She did not feel judged or rejected or anything here. She simply says, I perceive that you're a prophet. Because of the relationship that they had, he could now work on this matter with her. This is a key principle, folks. This is a key principle for one-on-one ministry. You start with common ground. You offer something better. You're able to talk with the issues that are present and work through them. The woman says, I can see you're a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but the Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. She changes the subject a little bit here. She takes it from her own personal to the nation. And Jesus says, a time is coming where we're not going to have to worship on this mountain or that mountain, but we'll all worship in spirit and in truth. Oh, that day is coming, and I believe it's coming very soon. Jesus talks with her on this, and let's pick up the story in verse 25. The woman says, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. This is what the woman says. The Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. Jesus has asked of the woman for a drink of water. They've been able to make a connection. Jesus offers her something better, living water. The woman wants this water. She'll give anything to get this water. Now Jesus faces difficult personal issues with her, her marital situation. It's not a right one. It's not a good one. Jesus is working through it. As we can see here, he opens up her closet and exposes all the dirty laundry in the closet, if you will, to clean it up, to minister to her. But see, Jesus does the same thing. He opens himself, he opens his closet to the woman. Look at verse 26. After she's talking about the Messiah, she says, now he responds, then Jesus declared, I am he, there it is, I am he who speaks to you. In other words, Jesus has completely revealed himself to this woman. He must needs go through Samaria. Here was a woman that needed a personal moment with Jesus. Here was a woman that needed a transformation. Here was a woman that needed a conversion. Jesus has asked her for a drink of water. He has offered her living water. He has dealt with who she is. He has presented to her for who he is. And now he has made himself known to her as Messiah. This woman changes. The story takes a little turn here. It says that the disciples come back. The disciples knew that Jesus was not supposed to be talking to a woman as a rabbi, not even greet him in public, but even more talk about him. But the Bible says in those few verses after 27 there, that none of the disciples said a word. They just stay quiet. They're a little bit concerned about Jesus. They want to give him food, but Jesus responds by saying, you have no clue that I've already been fed. Because you see, when you minister for God, when you're doing God's work, God can lift you up in the blessing that you are to somebody else, and you think you're giving of yourself. God is giving of himself to you, and he builds you up. He takes you up higher and higher and higher. And sometimes when we feel that we cannot give up anymore, we no longer have it to give, we press on because of what He has done for us. You see, the disciples had no clue, but none of them said a word. If I would have been there, using sanctified imagination, if you will, I would have liked to have seen one of the guys, one of the disciples, "Hey, Jesus, what was up with that woman? Where was she at, what happened?" And Jesus would have probably come back and, gone through the whole thing. But they wouldn't even touch it. They knew it was such taboo in their culture that they wouldn't even touch it. They wouldn't even discuss it. You see, folks, Jesus made it a point here to minister to the furthest most of the outcast, to show a point to His disciples, because they were going to have to be carrying the mission after He was gone. And watch out for this woman. Watch what she does. Oh, you're going to get excited here. Oh, you're going to get excited. Verse 39. Many of the Samaritans, this is after she leaves with Jesus. She takes off. Actually, let's pick it up in 29, and then we'll go to 39. So the woman goes back to her town, goes back to her people. Verse 29, she says, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." Now, the Bible doesn't tell us He told her everything she ever did. It does tell us that He asked about her husband, and then He told her about the five, and now the one that she was with was not her husband. But she says, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." So Jesus could have probably talked about some other stuff here that is not recorded. We're not going to go there because, at the end, John says, if we were to write everything that was in the book or that Jesus did, no books could hold it. So there could have been more conversation here. But she goes and says, "This man told me everything." Then she says, "Could this be the Christ?" Then the whole town came and met the rabbi. They talked with him. Verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony, because she said, "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to Him, they urged Him to stay with them, and He stayed 2 days. And because of His words, many more became believers. He must needs go through Samaria. Here was a woman who had a past, who was from a race of people that was disgusted, hated, and completely put out by the Jews. Jesus goes and ministers to this woman. He searches her out. Must needs go through Samaria, finds her, asks her for water, making a connection, offers her water, making a deeper connection, talks about her past. He talks about who He is. This woman becomes the first missionary to the Samaritan nation. She goes and she talks about Jesus, what He has done for her, how He has told her everything about her. She talks so much to the point that people want now to come and see Jesus. They want to meet Him. They want to talk Him. They bring Him into town. He stays there for 2 days. And when He shows up there, many more become believers. Now check it out. Verse 42. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of," what does your Bible say there? "Of the world." He must needs go through Samaria. As a church, God has given us the responsibility to preach the gospel. As individuals, God has given us the responsibility to share what He has done for us. He has not called us out to minister to specific groups. He's called us out to throw the net and fish. Fish for Him. He will do the transformation. He will do the converting. He will do the cleaning. Folks, you are standing in one of the fastest growing denominations of the world right now. Every minute, people are being baptized into this church because of a connection with Jesus Christ. Because somebody told them about Jesus Christ. The video that you saw, South America, 30% of the world membership is in South America. The other 30% is in Africa. Places where people are preaching and testifying about their faith. I can tell you places here in America too where the gospel is being preached and people are believing and accepting and the churches are growing. This is an exciting thing because you see, when you have a personal moment with Jesus, when Jesus comes into your heart, there's something that happens that changes and you cannot remain silent. This woman couldn't keep quiet. She goes, she talks, she speaks. He must needs go through Samaria. There was an urgency to go through Samaria. He must needs go through Brookings. He must needs go to you. He must needs go to me. I will tell you this morning that the gospel of Jesus Christ can only be preached when we personally have met Jesus Christ. I don't know where you're at today. You could be like that woman, trying to stay away from everybody else because you feel judged. You might be like the disciples who were very close to Jesus, but in reality they were very far away. I don't know where your walk is with Jesus today, but today is a day that we can come and have a personal relationship with Jesus, a personal moment with Jesus. Allow Him to change our life. Allow Him to show us who He is. Allow Him to show us who we are, so that He can make the surgery and the changes and the transformations that we need in ourselves. So then, we can preach Him. We can talk about Him like people who know Him. He must needs go through Samaria. There was an urgency there. He must needs go through Brookings today. There is an urgency. There is an urgency. I remember a few of the people that I've ministered to and that I've met through the time in ministry. You know, there's people that you see them and you feel, oh man, this person is going to be a great addition to God's kingdom. They're going to go out and do great things. There's other people that you meet and you don't know how you touch their lives. You meet them for a brief part of your time, a brief part of your life, and then they're gone. You never hear from them. And many of us have the blessing of hearing and seeing and understanding what they've gone through, but many of us don't have that opportunity. I believe that when we get to heaven, yeah, it'll be nice to walk on the golden streets. Imagine gold, what we consider to be the highest thing here on this earth. It's going to be asphalt over there. Walking on the golden streets, seeing the sea of glass, seeing the tree of life, eating from that fruit. Oh, it's going to be great. Oh, speaking to Jesus and giving the thanks, the honor, the glory for everything he has done. Oh, that's going to be awesome. But I tell you another thing that's going to be awesome is meeting those people that we ministered to without even knowing we were ministering to them. Those outcasts, those people that are way out there that we took the time to go talk to them. As a matter of fact, that's saying it wrong, that Jesus took the time to minister through us so that he can touch them. I believe there's going to be many people whom are going to take us by the hand and take us to Jesus and say, your servant did his work. Your faithful servant did his work in representing you. And it is because of him that I saw you in his life. And because of that, I gave my life to Jesus. I believe there's going to be moments like that. And we can all praise and give glory to God for the things that he has done. He must needs to become alive in your heart. He must needs to become alive in our church. He must needs to become alive in our town. He must needs go through Samaria. Don't let him go without having that moment with him. Don't let him go without touching him, without learning from him. Don't let him go without him transforming your life into his character. May God bless you as you spend those moments alone with Jesus. And may out of that relationship come a transformed life that reflects the character of our wonderful Savior, Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. May God bless you as you consider that. Let us stand up and sing all together hymn number 569. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. 569. To consider for the next 2 weeks and examine your life to see what God has done for you. We're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, the last Saturday of this month, so in 2 weeks. We want to make it a special time. We want to make it a high Sabbath. And I want to give you opportunity to share with us in a few minutes what God has done for you. So we will have the regular communion, but we'll open up the floor so that you can share what God is doing in your life, so that you can give testimony of His love changing you. So prepare for that. Do that for me, please, as we look forward to Holy Communion. Let us pray now. Our Father, we look forward to the day with that great multitude giving you honor, praise, and glory for what you have done. Lord, we want to be faithful. We want to be faithful to the ministry. We want to be faithful to the calling that you have given us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to the day that you come. Transform us, change us, mold us, break us. Lord, do what you need to do in us so that we can be better vehicles to transport your gospel, your truth. Help us to do that, Lord. And help us to be a reflection of your character. May our lives be a sweet aroma to you. May our lives be a sweet aroma to those around us, because they see Jesus in us. Bless us today and keep us, for we ask it all in your name. Amen. May God bless you.